elected labor and community leaders that are here. And a special thanks to Brent Ridge, CEO of Dairyland Power Cooperative, for hosting us today. You know, I come from the state of Delaware. Everybody thinks it's an eastern industrial state. Our largest industry in Delaware, and I served as senator there for 36 years. I know I don't look that old, but I am. For 36 years, is agriculture. It's a $4 billion enterprise in the Delmarva Peninsula. And its co-ops made it happen. But millions of Americans rely on co-ops like yours for electricity every single day, and it matters. In June of 2021, 5 months after I came to office, I went to nearby La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was the 65th anniversary of President Eisenhower signing the bill that created the interstate highway system. I talked about my vision to do something just as historic, to invest in infrastructure and clean energy and so much more in rural America, to invest in all America and all Americans, to propel us into the future, creating millions, and I mean millions of good-paying jobs, and positioning America to win the economic competition of the 21st century. And I'm backed again today to begin a series of trips and events showing that progress we've made together by our Investing in America agenda, an agenda that has come to fruition over the last decade. Invest in America. Invest in American workers. Here in Westby, you know, I'm proud to announce that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever, and by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the we should have named it what it was, but at any rate, the Department of Agriculture is able, from that legislation, to announce $7.3 billion in grants to 16 electrical co-ops nationwide to help rural communities transition to clean, affordable, reliable energy. It's the most significant transformative investment in electricity and electrification and clean energy for rural America since FDR's New Deal nearly 90 years ago. And that's not hype, that's a fact. And it includes Dairyland Power Cooperative that will receive $580 million to develop and purchase solar power, wind power, energy storage right here in Wisconsin and all across the Midwest. And here's why it's a game changer. Before the New Deal, private companies refused to provide affordable electricity to rural communities. As a result, 1 in 10 rural households, only 1 in 10, had electricity before FDR came to power. So farmers had to organize electric co-ops to distribute electricity to their families and their communities. With help from the New Deal, there are now more than 800 rural electric co-ops to provide electricity for 40 million Americans in 48 states. But key challenges, they've overcome them, but they're still, the co-ops are still nonprofits. They don't have the same resources that private utility companies have to modernize their energy infrastructure. And for decades, they couldn't access tax credits and make clean energy more affordable. That's why Kamel and I ensured that for the first time in American history, that these nonprofit co-ops can benefit from clean energy tax credits, just like for-profit utilities have for decades. We also created new tools for co-ops to refinance prior debts so those they can go out there and not be held back from investing in their future. Today's historic announcement of $7.3 billion for rural electric co-ops builds on those steps. It means clean, affordable electricity for over 5 million rural households and businesses across 23 states. It means 20,000 jobs, good-paying, high-quality jobs, including union jobs, so rural America is empowered to lead our clean energy future. It means covering the upfront cost of clean energy so rural families can save on their energy bills and get just a little more breathing room at the end of the month. And it means rural entrepreneurs and manufacturers who are so fundamental to our economy are powered with reliable, affordable energy, and they can create more job opportunities in their communities. And guess what? It's also good for the environment as well. Because of our historic actions, we're going to reduce by 43 million tons greenhouse gas pollution every single year as a consequence of these investments. That is the equivalent of removing pollution from more than 10 million gas-powered vehicles. 10 million. It's going to save $265 billion in healthcare costs because of better, cleaner quality of air. People aren't breathing polluted air and getting sick. That comes from the NIH. It matters, folks. You know it. And, folks, I've kept my commitment to be president for all America and all Americans, including rural America. Your communities are the backbone, and that's not hyper, you're the backbone of this country. You deserve the same resources as folks in our cities and our suburbs. And that's what today's announcement is all about. Generating rural power for rural America. But that's not all. Last year, I was next door with your good neighbor, Governor Waltz of Minnesota. I think the guy's gone places. I talked about we're making the most fundamental and significant investment ever in rural America, creating new and better markets, new income streams that are generators of rural America that can grow and thrive. For example, we're taking on big corporations and doing everything from increasing competition in the meat markets to boosting domestic fertilizer production. In fact, here in Wisconsin, that means $12 million to lower fertilizer costs for farmers across the state, which also creates jobs and grows new businesses. Here in Wisconsin, we also invested $47 million to lower energy costs, install renewable and energy-efficient technologies like solar panels behind me on farms and rural small businesses. Darren just shared how that's cut his family electricity bill in half. We're helping farmers and ranchers and entrepreneurs tackle the climate crisis. Climate-smart agriculture, such as cover crops, nutrient management, storing carbon in the soil. These practices reduce the greenhouse gas emissions and improve our overall health of the soil and the water. They put us on a path to continuing to grow the food, the fuel, the fiber that will power our nation for decades to come. Through our bipartisan infrastructure law, it's a fancy way of saying that $366 billion for the environment, most significant investment in America's infrastructure. And what the infrastructure bill, by the way, the bipartisan bill, that was $1,200,000,000,000. And guess what? We're still lowering the deficit. Anyway, the most significant investment in America since Eisenhower's interstate highway system. We've invested $4 billion so far in 350 projects to modernize Wisconsin transportation. Just in Wisconsin, that's been invested. Infrastructure, going to be three roundabouts on Route 14, U.S. 14, and a new bridge on County Highway M. Folks, look, just like we're making the most significant investment in rural electrification, FDR, we're also making the most significant investment ever in affordable high-speed internet. Because affordable high-speed internet is just as essential today as electricity was a century ago. In order to be able to do business, and when things are shut down, your kid doesn't have to sit outside of McDonald's. And anyway, that's why we've invested $1.6 billion just in Wisconsin to connect everyone to affordable high-speed internet in Wisconsin. And since I took office, 72,000 more Wisconsin homes and small businesses have access to high-speed internet for the first time ever. We're going to keep it going. We've also invested $200 million to replace lead pipes across the state so a kid can drink clean water without worrying about brain damage and changing their schools as well. We've launched the Rural Partners Network, putting new federal staff on the ground to help communities access federal resources. Let them know what they are, where to go, how to get it, because it's complicated. So I want people on site being able to tell people how they qualify, how they apply, how they get it done. And after years of importing 90% of our semiconductor chips, which I might add, America invented. We invented the computer chip. It's needed for everything from automobile engines to weapons. We passed the CHIPS and Science Act, has led private companies from around the world to come back. We used to have 40% of the market not too many years ago. And now we've got down to basically zero. From countries around, I travel from everywhere from North Korea, anyway, South Korea, to across the world to get these computer chip factories to come. I asked when we convinced one of the companies in South Korea to invest building these chips in America, I said, why would you do it? And they're investing several billion dollars. He said, because you have the most advanced workers in the world, and it's the safest place in the world to invest. Well, our CHIPS and Science Act has led private companies from around the world to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in new chips and battery factories, and more of them right here in America. With the leadership of your governor, you've already added 200,000 new jobs and attracted over $5 billion in Wisconsin in private sector investment in clean energy and advanced manufacturing. In fact, this spring, I was with your governor, Racine, where Microsoft announced a $3 billion investment, $3 billion investment to build a data center to help operate one of the most powerful artificial intelligence systems in the entire world. It's going to create thousands of good-paying jobs on site and across the state, creating even more opportunities in rural communities. Let's remember, my predecessor promised you that he would redevelop Foxconn factory in Racine. You been there lately? He didn't do a damn thing. Nothing. Folks, all these investments means family farms can stay in the family. Rural entrepreneurs can build their dreams. Your children and grandchildren won't have to leave home to make a living. I don't know how many of you have been confronted growing up, where everything's going well and the son or daughter comes to mom or dad and said, I can't stay. There's not work for me here. I got to leave. That's stopping now. Because we're spreading opportunities to benefit everyone. Building the future where no one is left behind. Growing an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. Because when you do that, everybody does well. Everybody does well. My dad used to have an expression, Joey, a job's a bottle. My dad was a hardworking guy. Didn't go to college, well-read guy because of World War II. Anyway, he worked like hell. He always come home to dinner before he'd go back and close the shop. And my dad used to say, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being treated with respect. And it's about knowing you can look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay. You're not going to have to leave home to get a job. That's in stark contrast to my predecessor. When he was in office, he enacted a $2 trillion tax cut. $2 trillion tax cut that overwhelmingly benefited the very wealthy, the biggest corporations, and drove up federal deficit every single year of his presidency. He left office with the largest annual deficit in American history, $3 trillion. And by the way, I made a commitment when I got elected, and my vice president made a similar commitment. No one making under $400,000 will see a single penny in their taxes raised, not a single penny. Neighbor that I come from in Claymont, Delaware, and Scranton, Pennsylvania, they say, well, that's too damn much. But the point is to make sure that we know this isn't an attack on the wealthy. He left us with a pandemic raging and economy reeling. His allies in Congress, with all due respect, I've had this conversation with your Senator Ron Johnson, voted against every one of the things I talked about today. Every single thing I talked about in terms of rural economy, he voted against it. Voted against it. It's hard to imagine your Senate voting against interest in a rural state was so large and so consequential as the state of Wisconsin. Meanwhile, your other Senator, Tammy Baldwin, has done everything to take care of the state so she can be devoted to it. Vice President Kamala Harris fought like hell for all of you and for the future worthy of your aspirations. Look, just think about how far we've come. We have more to go. We have more to go. Too many people are still in trouble. But nearly 4 years that we've been president and vice president, with one of those extraordinary periods of progress in American history. COVID no longer controls our lives. We've gone from an economic crisis to the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again. We have the strongest economy in the world, and no one challenged it. We got more to do. We're seeing something else. In thousands of cities and towns across the country and across Wisconsin, we're seeing the great American comeback story. The way I see it, and I talk to the other team, talks about how bad off we are and how America's in trouble. The way I see it, today's announcement is about far more than just giving rural America the power to turn on the lights. It's about giving the power to shape our own future. In fact, Wisconsin has a strong, strong history of neighbor helping neighbor and forming cooperatives, which are literally owned and powered by the people of Wisconsin. Because of you, we're planting seeds today that grow and blossom for generations to come. That's what we're seeing here in Wisconsin, a state with a proud tradition of rural communities leading our nation forward. And again, that's not an exaggeration. You've been a leader in the nation. Let me close with this. As I travel this state and the country, I hope you feel what I feel. Pride. Pride in our hometowns. Pride in making a comeback. Pride in America. Pride in knowing we can get big things done when we work together. Folks, I've never been more optimistic about our nation's future. Just have to remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America. That's who we are. Not a joke. We're the only nation in the world that's come through every crisis stronger than we went into that crisis. Because we're a hard-working, optimistic people, decent people. We know from experience that there's nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we work together. And again, that's not an exaggeration. We work together. I remember the days when I first got started, with a lot of Republican senators, my close friends, we worked together, we compromised. We didn't talk about things as if it was a dire moment, that democracy was at stake. We actually worked together. We fought like hell, but we worked together. We got to return that for our children, because our democracy depends on it. I'm keeping you too long in the sun, so let me just say, God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
There you have it, President Joe Biden here in Westby. That's in Vernon County, a really rural part of Vernon County, maybe only about 3,000 people, under 3,000 people that live there. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Luke Mathers is here with me, and we have Terry Bell there on site in Vernon County. The big focus of his announcement today was his Investing in America agenda, and this is basically part of the Inflation Reduction Act. However, this is all based on the Energizing Rural America program, which is all under this big umbrella bill and law that was eventually signed and really got some bipartisan support on the way out. So let's talk about what this is going to do here in Wisconsin. So $7.3 billion is going to these co-ops. There are 16 of them throughout 23 different states. There's one of them that serves us here in Wisconsin. And that one here in Wisconsin is getting about $580 million to be able to lower energy rates for the people of Wisconsin, especially in these rural areas, which should make just about everything a little cheaper, according to the Biden administration. What stood out to you here, Luke?
What stood out here to me, Savannah, is it feels very much like the and then we got the on-site team there honking the horn a little bit.
They're there for real.
Yes, they are there. The folks there on the ground. But this very much felt like a little bit of a kind of combined victory lap for the Biden and Harris administration, as well as something that you may have heard on a campaign stump speech just a few weeks ago, but instead coming to us as an official White House visit with President Biden touching down here in Wisconsin today to highlight some of the success from the transformative legislation that he and his administration oversaw and is going to make a pretty big difference for the rural community there in Westby and the surrounding area to be able to have more affordable electricity options coming to those communities. And as the president and the White House have pointed out, a number of different effects coming from that. The amount of greenhouse gas removed or prevented from going into the atmosphere, 43 million tons per year, thanks to this investment that is coming through the bipartisan infrastructure legislation. So it's going to be pretty telling, the trickle-down effect that an investment like this, as the president kept referring it to, as will have on these communities.
Well, and a big part of that, too, is the investment in broadband. We all remember the stories from the pandemic when there were kids, especially in rural areas, who were sitting outside their local McDonald's, sitting outside their public library, just to be able to get signal to be able to participate in school. It was a crisis before the pandemic, but we really saw just how it impacts people every day across different parts of the state, but especially the rural parts of the state. Our news director, Terry Bell, is there in Westby. Terry, what did you take away from his speech there?
Well, there's the fact, as you mentioned, how significant Dairyland Power is, and this program, $7.3 billion for renewable energy for these cooperatives like Dairyland Cooperatives, which is a pretty significant cooperative. It provides wholesale electrical services to 24 distribution cooperatives and 27 municipal utilities in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. Renewable energy at this point makes up about 20% of Dairyland Power Cooperative's overall power generation portfolio. You could expect that to increase. No accident, of course, that the backdrop, if anybody was watching on streaming, the backdrop behind the president, solar panels here at Dairyland Cooperative. So clearly the message being driven home.
Well, they're actually going to be able to build so much more with this money. They're going to be able to do 4 new solar projects and 4 new wind energy projects just with this money from this grant. On top of that, too, what's really going to be important here in the rural part of Wisconsin is that internet access. There are so many people who tell me when I would go to different portions of the state that, man, I would love to be able to stream a movie and not have to load it and buffer it for 20 minutes beforehand. It really is a great equalizer at this point, and something everybody should have access to.
And as the president mentioned, Savannah, you know, right now, you know, making internet widely available is just as key to, you know, us, to our lifestyles, as electricity was during the Great Depression and the era of the New Deal.
Just out of curiosity, Terry, how's your internet access been out there in Westby?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because at events like this, things are not so great. Like any big event, there is no Wi-Fi here and whatever is. But we're out in a sparse area where Wi-Fi is not a consideration. Of course, there are, you know, if you're a customer here, you would have internet, but in that not being the case, we were reliant on Wi-Fi here, which, you know, obviously not a great signal.
Makes sense when we're all the way out there, but really just drives home the entire point that President Biden is here talking about. He's really touting the three main pieces, I think, that are going to be part of his legacy in office. And that's the American Rescue Plan Act, the big one that was passed during COVID, which gave Wisconsin $2.5 billion. We have the Inflation Reduction Act, and that's the umbrella that this is under. And then the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, which will end up creating thousands upon thousands of jobs here in Wisconsin within the next 15 years. Luke, what else stands out to you?
Yeah, I don't think it's a mistake that of the several dozen co-ops that will be benefiting from programs like this, that the White House happened to find a co-op that is smack dab in the center of the political universe, which here in Wisconsin, that is the 3rd congressional district. So we know that this is one of the most highly contested congressional districts that will be on the the map for not just here in Wisconsin, but around the country. It is a district that is currently being represented by freshman Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden, who won the seat in 2022 and is up against a competitor in Rebecca Cook, who ran in 2022 as well, but she secured the Democratic nomination for that seat this year, just last month, and it's going to be a very interesting race. The voters in the 3rd Congressional District are seeing not just those congressional ads, they're seeing an increased focus from the U.S. Senate candidates here in Wisconsin, as well as the top of the ticket with the president, who was the former Democratic nominee for this 2024 cycle, but his administration, the Biden-Harris administration, clearly making a focus with this visit on one of those couple dozen co-ops that resides as a beneficiary of a program like this, but is very, very contested on the political map this cycle.
We were just talking about it before we came on the air. There are no coincidences in politics when it comes to geography like this. I think we're going to wrap up here after hearing from President Biden. And remember, we'll have some special coverage Tuesday night for the presidential debate. You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin's in the lower half. And one of the big reasons for that is because a lot of Wisconsin's laws in regards to workers are reliant on the federal standard. Wisconsin has a minimum wage of $7.25, which is the federal standard. Wisconsin has no paid leave. Wisconsin doesn't extend many protections to workers that we consider federally excluded, like domestic workers. And Wisconsin is one of those right-to-work states that doesn't have many protections for unionization. I will say, and credit where credit is due, because I think it's important to identify where progress is needed, but celebrate where there is positive policies. Wisconsin steps up in a lot of ways for farm workers. And I think that's important to identify. Wisconsin is a great state when it comes to agriculture and farm working. And so there is some positive policies there. So we do see the potential for great policy change in Wisconsin, but there's still room to improve. You know, compared to some neighbors, Illinois is at number 7, Minnesota is at number 11. So it's wow. Quite a difference. Yeah.
We just have about 2 minutes left. What is the one or two policies that you think can really have the biggest impact for working people in the U.S.?
I think for all working people in the U.S. and Wisconsin as well, let's raise the wage. Let's raise the minimum wage. Let's get rid of the sub-minimum tipped wage, which yes. traps too many, especially women, in cyclical poverty. Let's get some paid leave so people who have care responsibilities in their communities can miss a day of work to care for someone but not lose a paycheck. And let's really protect the right to organize. We know the union difference. It increases wages. It increases protection at work. You are safer. You're less likely to be injured. You have more benefits. It does matter. So if I was going to say 3 things, it is raise the wage, pass some paid leave, and let's protect the right to organize.
Folks, that's Dr. Caitlin Henderson, senior researcher at Oxfam, the largest anti-poverty organization in the world. They just published Oxfam's annual Best States to Work Index. Folks, Brian and I will put that in the blurb for today's show so you can check it out with your own eyes, but you heard it here. Raise the minimum wage, paid leave, which is a big old fat duh, right? And protect workers' rights to organize. Thank you so much for making time for us, Katie. I can't wait to have you back again. Stay tuned. The Maggie Dawn Show continues here on the Civic Media Network after these 3 messages.
Listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You've been watching the dairy markets. Barrel and block cheese prices have been going in opposite directions lately than what you're used to. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Cody Cost, dairy broker analyst with EverEgg, explains what's been driving this change in our dairy markets.
So we've had the barrel valued over the block for, I'd say, since mid-July. So it's been a little bit inverse. Usually the block is valued over the barrel by about 3.5 to 4 cents. And what I think they're going to try to do this week, Pam, is they're going to try to narrow that gap at about $1 or $2.25, which if you look on a chart, there is a gap right there. And then once we get the block in the barrel at 225, I think we're really going to have to sit back and say, okay, we had an all-around negative GDT on Tuesday. Cheese was still positive for cheddar and mozzarella. We've got schools in session. We've got football coming up. So the time of the year for more buying is going to be taking place here soon.
That's Cody Koster, broker analyst with EverEgg. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Back to school. Whether you're jumping on a yellow school bus or put that backpack on headed to campus, Bavaria Sausage is thinking about you. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, want to keep it simple? Do all your shopping online. BavariaSausage.com. There's a brand new website in development, so check back often and see what they've got. I know what they've got right now. Some really healthy snacks that can be included in those lunch boxes or tucked into that backpack for studying enjoyment. Those Lawn Yoggers, new flavors available all the time. And listen, if you're one of the folks dropping the kids off, you want to make life a little simpler, one brand new product that's available at the Fitchburg location, some pre-cut chicken breasts. It's all about an evolving menu that they're working on at Bavaria Sausage. So like I said, check back often at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, if you're in the area, or online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BavariaSausage.com. Tell them the Farm Babe sent ya.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets for the day. December corn closed at 410 and three quarters. That was down 2 cents. And November beans closed at 1023 and a half, and that was up 2 cents. December wheat closed at 574 and three quarters, and that was down 6 cents. On the dairy side of things now, October Class 3 milk contract is trading at 22.86 a hundredweight. That is down 14 cents. And November Class 3 milk contract is trading at 22.49 a hundredweight, and that is down 13 cents. Barrel cheese had no change and closed at 2.25. 40-pound block cheese also had no change and closed at 2.23. And the double A butter closed up 1.5 cents and closed today at 3.16 and a quarter. Be sure to take us with you as you start heading into the field or just to the office by downloading our app at thefarmwi.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A shower or two lingering this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low near 50. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. Sunshine continues for this weekend, pleasant and warming, mid-60s Saturday, mid-70s Sunday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Shop Furlow Mattress during our Labor Day sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Get a free box spring with a mattress purchase. Or upgrade to an adjustable base and save even more. At Furlow, every mattress we make is factory direct and custom made locally for you. And it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Don't fall for the other guy's mattress gimmicks. Furlow has no middleman, so you'll get the comfort you want and save a whole lot of money. American made, locally crafted. Furlow.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer. When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be here next time when our old friend Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badgers, stops by with his annual picks, and our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Texas, ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down. Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show, subbing in for Maggie, and I'm here with Angela Lang from Block as my co-host. Love that song. I'm playing Texas Hold'em tonight.
I feel like you said that last time. You play it regularly, huh?
Every Tuesday and Thursday night.
Nice.
And I actually went down to Elgin and played on Sunday. My son and I played and won a little bit of money, so that's always nice.
Nice. Congrats.
There was a tournament of 116 people, and both of us got to the final table. So nice. That was sweet.
Impressive. Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know if you want to look at my sheet over the years, but it's taken a beating. But anyway, here we are. If you were just listening to the last segment, that was just a little snippet of a conversation that Maggie Dawn had with Caitlin Henderson, a very impressive senior researcher at Oxfam America, who's the author of a report called The Best and Worst States to Work in the U.S. in 2024, and Wisconsin coming in at number 38. You can hear the whole full podcast, half-hour conversation that Maggie had with Caitlin Henderson on the Civic Media page under special segments. One of the things that's so shocking about the state of working people in Wisconsin compared to other places, we still have that ridiculous, ludicrous $7.25 minimum wage, which is, according to this report, I didn't realize it's the longest frozen minimum wage we've had in our country's history since the beginning of minimum wages. And it's just obviously not even close to anywhere near or half near a livable wage.
I mean, you can almost buy a latte.
Maybe.
That much. Almost.
Depending.
You can't tip.
Yeah, no.
You can,
I mean, you can't pay rent. You sure can't pay rent anywhere in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
$25 an hour.
But people don't need that, right? I mean,
of course not. Housing. It's just interesting because as we, you know, kind of still are in the shadow of Labor Day, I was lucky to be on with Greg Bach filling in for Jay Matt Nair earlier. And we had Earl Ingram on, and he was talking about how he had a large family. I think he had like 11 or 13 or so children, siblings like in his family, and they were able to have his mom stay at home, take care of the kids. And dad went out, had a good paying union job, and was able to support a large family on one income. And here we are. I remember when I first started organizing, talking about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And people thought that was ludicrous. And that was, you know, over 10 years ago. And if it would have kept up with an inflation, it would be at $20+. And it's just the fact that we have not even made an attempt as a state to raise the minimum wage, I think, is shameful. And I think it's part of just the remnants and the remains of the Walker era as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we need these fair maps and need to get a Democratic legislature so that Evers and the Democrats can pass a increase to this ridiculous $7.25. We're, you know, again, in a minority of states here. A lot of states have increased the minimum wage and we're lagging. We're like one of those southern states. I mean, Mississippi, people were joking about when Walker passed Act 10, but that's what we've become.
Yeah.
And union percentage has dropped by about 50% or 40% since Act 10. There's also something that I think should be illegal in this country, which is forced overtime.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, nurses are forced to work overtime sometimes, and forced overtime in other places too. I mean, that is not freedom.
Yeah.
I know Kamala Harris talks a lot about freedom, and she has that Beyonce song that is now an emblem of her campaign that she stole from Maggie Dawn, let's face it.
Lovingly borrowed.
Maggie should get royalties on that. Anyway, it's just not, you're not free if you're forced to work overtime against your will under penalty of being fired.
Yeah, and also depending on the industry, I was actually just having this conversation in the office today with our team. We were talking about nursing home shortages, and if there is a shortage in trying to pay people equitably and people don't want to go into that industry, there will be a nursing shortage or CNA shortage in our nursing homes. And so how that also plays into the level of care people get. So when people are talking about raising the minimum wage, it's not just so people can just live large, right? It's being able to be compensated so it draws people into that industry and there's higher standards, and that trickles down to the level of care too.
And as that report noted, the best and worst states to work in the U.S., the care economy, people who work in the care economy, most often women, a disproportionate number of women in color, terribly underpaid in the care economy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, there's not a lot of benefits, and you know, you're not getting paid vacation time. You're not getting 401k stuff. You're not getting anything a lot of times except your wage, and the wage is ridiculously low.
Yeah. And these are folks, like you said, that are doing really, you know, sometimes strenuous work, but also taking care of our loved ones too, or our kids, our families, our elders. And it's just so interesting what we prioritize as a state and as a country. The fact that teachers, even, for example, right, getting off a little bit on a tangent, they are literally molding our future minds of this country and have the success of this country in their hands. And we are paying them terribly. And it's just like the more responsibility you have, not only for our elders, but for, you know, our future generations, it's almost like the less we pay you and the less we value you under Republican administrations.
Yeah, if you want to join this conversation about labor and work in Wisconsin and why we lag behind so many other states and what needs to be done about it, give us a holler at 855-752-4842. The study we were referring to was from Oxfam, which I thought just used to do hunger reports.
Right, yeah.
But is now doing, and if I would wanted to ask Caitlin Henderson, the author, when they started doing this workplace stuff, but I'm glad they are. She's a senior researcher there who's been doing this study about the best and worst states in the U.S. for the last 5 or 6 years herself, which is an impressive feat. And she talked about not only wages, but working conditions and the right to organize. And, of course, the right to organize here has been devastated since Act 10. And it wasn't just for public sector workers, as Peter Barker was reminding us in the previous hour, because, of course, Walker said, first, he was going to divide and conquer, and he divided public sector workers from public sector workers, excusing some people in police units and firefighters. And then he divided public sector workers from private sector workers. Notoriously said, don't talk to me about right to work when he was running for reelection. It's not going to be an issue. And of course, the second he got reelected, that bill landed on his desk and he signed it right away.
Yep.
I mean, he was such a ganef, as we say in Yiddish. He is such a fraud and a cheat, Scott Walker. Good riddance to him. I didn't like seeing his ugly face at the RNC.
So in conclusion, Wisconsin being 38 on the list is due to Scott Walker, his cronies, and the Republican Party. So if there's any question, right?
Yeah. And he's still fronting for Trump. And, of course, there's Tommy Thompson, who's today in Milwaukee fronting for Trump.
Yeah.
I don't understand Tommy Thompson, how he can look at himself in the mirror at night or when he's brushing his teeth in the morning and have any dignity left, because he's got to know somewhere in there what dangers Donald Trump poses to us. And speaking of those dangers, Liz Cheney made it explicit yesterday at an event in North Carolina that she is not only anti-Trump, she is going to vote for Kamala Harris. We're going to run that brief little clip right now. Thanks, Jess.
Don't believe that we have the luxury of writing in candidates' names, particularly in swing states. And as a conservative, as someone who believes in and cares about the Constitution, I have thought deeply about this. And because of the danger that Donald Trump poses, not only am I not voting for Donald Trump, but I will be voting for Kamala Harris in this election.
There it is.
That's impressive to me. It really is. And I hope it'll make a difference. I'm waiting for others too.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her dad, who I hated and still hate and believe he should be.
I had very strong feelings
brought
about that
before
man.
The International Criminal Court for countenancing torture and overseeing torture.
He also was
in
just
Iraq.
There's many things that her dad has done awful, and we know that. But what always just got me was he shot a man in the face, and like, whoops.
And how did he not get charged with
like,
that?
Like, what? Like, sorry, my bad?
Who gets away
Whoopsies?
With that?
Yeah, like, you shot somebody in the face. Like, right. That's wild. That was, again, not to minimize all of the other ridiculous, harmful, terrible, dangerous things that he has done. But that just one always just stood out to me as one thing I just did not understand.
It's an example of two systems of justice, that's for sure.
The privilege. In this essay, I will. Case study.
That is Exhibit A. But yeah, where's Dick, where's the dad on this? Who are you voting for? And I keep saying George W. Bush, Laura Bush. Come on now.
Come out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old established Republican Party.
Yeah.
That has been thrown overboard by Donald Trump. I know you recognize the threat to our democracy that this guy, Trump, poses. I mean, after all, George W. Bush at the inauguration, Trump's inauguration speech said, this is some crazy, and then a word I can't say on radio.
I appreciate you censoring yourself. Otherwise, I have to do it, and it's a whole thing.
Oh, no, I saved
fines
you.
Fines are probably involved.
I saved your reflexes there, Jess. But, yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for more decent Republicans. And I know there are a lot out there, and I'm sure there's some listening right now who will go into the voting booth on November 5th, maybe secretly if, you know, their partner doesn't agree with them, but not vote for Trump. But actually do what Liz Cheney is. I'm not only not going to vote for that guy because he's so awful, but actually because it's so important to the future of this country, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris, even if I've been a Republican through and through. And, you know, we talked about my poker game. I know decent guys who identify as Republicans, but some of them, I'm sure, aren't going to go in there and vote for Donald Trump either because they understand it, too. And it's just important for more and more Republicans of stature, and that's why it angers me so much about Tommy Thompson. I'm hoping that maybe his daughters will come out and say, you know, we're not with Dad on this one.
I think what's interesting and what really struck me by Liz Cheney is because you do see some Republicans that say, I cannot in good faith endorse or vote for this man. But they just stop shy of saying, oh, I'm voting for Kamala Harris. Or, you know, they're just like, I can't support that man. Or so it's like, are you writing in someone? Are you doing something else? But for her to just say it plainly, boldly, I'm not voting for him. I am actively voting for Kamala Harris as well. And I think that's not something you see all the time from folks very clearly distancing themselves from Trump for reasons and, you know, and rightfully so. But they still sometimes can't bring themselves to actually say the thing that they're going to be supporting openly, this first Black woman to be president. And but your vote, when you go into that ballot booth, or if you are voting from home via absentee or early voting and all the different ways to vote, that's just between you. And so at the end of the day, you have to reconcile with that. I know some folks that probably lie to their friends about how they voted. But at the end of the day, I think people really need to vote their conscience in whatever way that looks for them.
And that's why I like a lot of the work that the Lincoln Project's doing. And I admire Todd Alba on the Todd Alba Show for talking as a former Republican. I admire him for having Trygve Olson, who I disagree with on a lot of political issues. But Trygve Olson and the Lincoln Project stressing how important it is for Republicans like him, and he calls himself a Dobbs dad, a Republican with daughters who wants his daughters to have some freedom to acknowledge it. Yeah, I'm a Republican, but I'm voting for Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Going back to Tommy Thompson for a minute, we see that there is a comment from Jude from East Troy reminding us that Tommy Thompson's was nicknamed Toxic Tommy by some. So maybe that helps us make sense of why he moves the way he does. Because I mean, and that's the thing, it's like there are times that he has talked about some of the impacts of his own you know, policies and whatnot, and then you think that there could be hope, and then he just falls right back in line. And you know, I would hope that he would understand that Wisconsinites deserve better, and that is not indicative of our values.
Yeah, and part of it may be just a social thing, you know, what are my friends going to say who I hang out all the time? They're all Republicans, blah, blah, blah. You got to get over that.
I was going to say, we're too old to be mad about peer pressure with our friends at this point.
And he's older than the both of us.
Exactly, yeah, no.
And so at the end of the day, he's going to say, yeah, I helped Donald Trump win re-election, if God forbid he wins re-election. How shameful is that, Tommy Thompson?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. I'll take your comments about it, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show, and I'm here with Angela Lang.
Take it to the flow now. Ooh. Hoops, Spurs, boots. To the flow now. Ooh.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights. Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Last segment for the day. I'm joined by Angela Lang of Block. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the environment in this last section. If you want to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Of course, you can call up and talk about Tommy Thompson or talk about Trump or talk about Liz Cheney, anything you want to talk about. But just yesterday, my wife and I went to Devil's Lake. First time we've been at Devil's Lake in a long time. And we had a great time. I was watching the, you know, I'm a bird watcher. I was watching the osprey circling. I was watching the turkey vultures. I was listening to the cedar waxwings and just had a great time. It just reminded me what tremendous natural resources we have.
Yeah.
Really jewels we have in our state parks and county parks here in Wisconsin. And one of the biggest differences between, you know, the Harris campaign and the Trump campaign is what they do for the environment. And Biden was talking about that in Westby earlier today, but it's really true. I mean, you know, Trump is still doing drill, baby, drill, which is horrifying.
Yeah.
And yet we have Harris here who's talking about preserving more of our public lands and protecting our national wildlife refuges and not selling them off to the oil and gas industry, which is what Trump would do. So anyway, I'm just wondering what your favorite state park or county park is, where you'd like to go.
Yeah. So I say this as a proud board member of the Milwaukee Parks Foundation, and understanding how access to green space or parks or, you know, clean drinking water and things like that all have an effect on our mental health, right? I went to Riverside University High School in Milwaukee on the east side, and right behind our school was Riverside Park, and we had our track and everything, but then there was also a path. We always called it like the woods. I don't know if it was called anything else, but you'd go off of the track and there's kind of a wooded area and there's a river, and it was very serene for me to go there in the mornings before class started and things like that. And you know, I also think about, I cheated on Wisconsin a little bit, but please don't hold it against me. I went to Chicago for my birthday last month and stayed at a friend's house. We love her. Thanks for hosting us. But she had access. There was like a beach right behind, and I swam in Lake Michigan.
How cold was it?
It was beautiful. Really? I stayed out there for hours. It was also a very hot weekend. It was kind of like 90s plus. But there wasn't any gunk on it. It didn't smell funky. I could see down. It was the clearest I'd ever seen a different side of Lake Michigan. And I remember kind of looking around, kind of just floating and just kind of looking up. And I was like, is this what peace is? We need to protect this. And everybody, no matter where you live or your zip code, should have access to our earth and our planet, and it needs to be protected for future generations.
Yeah, Devil's Lake was real clear yesterday. My son went swimming. I was too chicken, but he went in and had a good time out there. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gunk in the lakes in Madison. I mean, the Madison lakes are kind of nasty right now, and we got to clean those up. But yeah, this difference on the environment between Biden and Harris,
yeah,
is about as dramatic. Well, a lot of issues are dramatic, but this is just another one.
I also think it comes down to like priorities and investments, and I think it just goes more and more on brand that people like Trump would rather sell out our national resources and our beautiful resources for a quick buck, right? The same way he always is in the interests of businesses and things like that. But now he's also trying to almost like profitize and privatize our most basic resources versus the Harris campaign wanting to actually protect that. So I think it's just another level of how this con man, businessman, basically is trying to capitalize and profit off of our most basic treasured resources instead of trying to protect and defend them.
And it's part of a real far-right ideology that we've been fed over the last couple of decades, that everything private is good,
yeah,
and everything public is bad. And we can't let them get away with that. I mean, we need to defend our public goods. We need to defend our community goods. And what are public goods or community goods? Live public libraries, public parks. I mean, there's a lot out there that we, public lands, that we deserve to have kept in public hands. Horicon Wildlife Refuge, Wyalusing State Park. I mean, these are gems.
Yeah.
And to, you know, allow, you know, drilling or fracking around Wyalusing State Park is crazy.
Yep.
And selling off rights to some of these public properties is crazy, too.
I think that there is something to be said about how people talk about public goods and the dog whistle behind it, right? Because when something is accessible to the public, including Black and brown folks, historically marginalized folks, low-income folks, then it becomes a problem, right? People want to privatize whatever because they want to make it inaccessible to low-income folks and that they feel that they should have exclusive access and rights and privilege to a public good because they somehow think that they have made it in life, so they are the only ones that should have access to it. And those dirty, you know, kids that go to public school, how dare they, you know, how dare we share the same space, unfortunately. And I say that as a proud public Milwaukee Public Schools graduate, understanding how this divide on public goods is really kind of just like an extra dog whistle. Who goes to public schools? Who's able to attend some of these things? And I think it's a quiet dog whistle. You know, we've seen some dog whistles that are now bullhorns, but I think it's interesting how people talk about public goods, though.
Yeah, and we need to come back to the idea that we deserve these things.
Yeah.
Not we're entitled to these, like it's yes. an entitlement that we're spoiled little brats, but we deserve great public schools. We deserve
Everybody
clean air,
should.
Clean
yes.
water, recreational places. I heard a study that said even 5 or 10 minutes a day in a park is so much better for your health than not going out there.
Does wonders for my mental health, I'll tell you that. Especially in years like this when there's so much, you know, craziness happening. Absolutely.
Yeah, we need those things to clear our air and get back to nature even briefly. And
yeah.
the places to do it. And in Wisconsin, we're lucky to have a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we'd have fewer and fewer under a Trump administration. Yet another reason why we've got to get Harris and Walz over the finish line here, and also a Democratic Congress and a Democratic legislature here in Wisconsin. So I want to thank you, Angela, for being with me today. Angela Lang of Block. I want to thank our guests, Peter Barca, Caitlin Henderson. Thank Maggie Dawn for letting me be behind the mic. I want to thank Jess in the booth for helping us out.
Hey, Jess.
It's been a lot of fun. So have a nice day, and let's get it done on November 5th. Take care.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On the next show, Rocker will be in to preview Max Inc. Radio over the weekend and listen to another stack of local music.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Save big money on supplies for your next project at Menards. From dust protection to heavy-duty construction projects, Polar Plastics has a fitting solution for you. Get a 10-foot by 25-foot roll of all-purpose plastic sheeting on sale now through September 8th. Save big on Polar Plastics products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.